It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and Brentwood realtor Daryl Garrison. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning. And welcome to one of the least expensive shows on NPR. So, however, that doesn't mean it's not a quality show, and it doesn't mean that every show on KALW is not a quality show. So we do hope you will make note of the fact that we are trying to make up some slack in the $2,500 pledge, and we want you to help donate to that. Please, please, please do what you can to help KALW. It's the most worthy station in the Bay Area. They do wonderful programming, and this is your chance to show your gratitude or your interest in our station. So, but we'll not get in the way of our show today, at least not in any major way. So we hope you will settle back and you will give us a call soon, because we want to hear from you. It's very, very important. This is an audience participation quiz program. We've been on for 31 years now, so we hope to keep going for another, well, I don't know about 31, but a few more anyway.
One.
And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. You can also contact us via email, and that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We prefer you call because we enjoy talking to you, but if you want to email, that's fine too. So that's mindsovermatter1, MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, @gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And Joanne will do her usual fine job in putting up our podcast later on today, and that will be at kalw.org and many, many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be much appreciated. Now, remember, we're trying to make up that $2,500. We need to do that before noon, and hopefully before 11 o'clock. So see what you could do out there. We appreciate donations of any size and do hope you will become members of KALW. All right. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Although Daryl Garrison has never eaten a dog or a cat, on many occasions he's had to eat crow.
Like that's today. Right.
Delicious, too.
Lori Fisher plans to not celebrate Banned Books Week by reading all the books people are hoping no one gets to read. He's going to have a very busy week.
I will. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, saw a photo of the new Trump watch and wondered why the hands weren't cuffed together.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week.
That's really good.
Okay. And we'll begin the questioning with the realtor from Brentwood, Daryl Garrison.
All right. Thank you, Dana. I have four movie quotes from films that won the Best Picture Oscar. One from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. These are in chronological order. Name the films.
What happened to the 50s, the 40s, and the 30s?
You said a limit on the list. You want the 50s?
You should have started at the other end.
Yeah, too easy. Go ahead. Try to make it too 60s. Easy for you.
60s. There was a time when I could have had you shot. 70s. Angela, I heard Stephen was alive. Where is he? 80s. I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and ask me himself. 90s. That place at the base of a woman's throat, you know, the hollow. Here, does it have an official name?
Whoa.
60s. There was a time when I could have had you shot. 70s. Angela, I heard Stephen was alive. Where is he? 80s. I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and ask me himself. 90s, that place at the base of a woman's throat, you know, the hollow. Here, does it have an official name?
Excellent reading, by the way. Very, very dramatic. I'm pulling blanks on all of them, Dana. You want to run the board?
No, because I'm pulling blanks on all of them, too. Just at the minute. Just go over them just once more, dear.
Sure. And these all won the Best Picture Oscar for that sometime in that decade. 60s, there was a time when I could have had you shot. 70s, Angela, I heard Stephen was alive. Where is he? 80s, I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and ask me himself. 90s, that place at the base of a woman's throat, you know, the hollow, here, does it have an official name?
So maybe the one from the 60s, I could have had you shot. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that In the Heat of the Night?
It is. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. He slaps the cop. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's the one I do remember.
I remember now. Yeah. And these are all Best Pictures, right?
Best Picture winners.
One.
Okay.
That's good. I don't know. Audience.
Leave it out there.
All right.
And Laura, you go ahead, please.
All right. Well, I'm going to do my part. For every correct answer today, I'm going to make a donation to KLW and encourage people at home to do the same when they know a right answer. Excuse me. So I have three short questions, sort of related, but not much. My two themes this week are going to be Saturday Night Live, which starts its 50th season tonight, and banned book reading. So these are loosely related. Charlotte's Web, here's my first question. Charlotte's Web is the official what of Major League Baseball? Charlotte's Web is the official what of Major League Baseball? That's question number one. Question number two, nothing to do with it. Lorne Michaels, of course, the guy, the producer of Saturday Night Live. Before he wrote for Saturday Night Live, he wrote for a comedy show. What comedy show did he write for? And my third question is, a banned book question. In 1991, Gloria Steinem urged people to boycott a certain book because of its depiction of violence against women. Years later, that book became a movie that starred her stepson. What's the book? And who is her famous stepson, which I didn't know until yesterday. So I want to know, if Charlotte's Web is the official what of Major League Baseball? Lauren, and it's not the book, it's a thing, more of a product. Lorne Michaels wrote for a comedy show before he invented Saturday Night Live. What show was it? And in 1991, Gloria Steinem urged people to boycott a book because of its violent depiction of violence towards women. Years later, it was made into a movie that starred her stepson. Looking for all of those.
All right. So, just a question. On Charlotte's Web, are they referring to the book or something that it's called Charlotte's Web?
They're referring to a product that's called Charlotte's Web that they have literally just taken the title and put it on their product. That's it. As far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with the E.B. White book.
Right. Because you can't, you cannot copyright a book title.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I can think of two products. You've got the webbing of a glove, and then you have all the screens behind the catcher.
And those are such intelligent guesses, and they're both. And I'm glad I'm not giving them money for wrong answers because they're both incorrect.
So, is this a consumable product?
Yes.
All right.
In a way, it is.
All right. So, although it makes no sense to me at all, it's a consumable product. So, I'm going to guess it has something to do with marijuana.
You are completely right. It's the official CBD of Major League Baseball. I was listening to a game the other night, and they had to say on, and they said, brought to you by Charlotte's Web, the official CBD. And I actually thought it was like a new headline. I looked it up, but it was good. Very good. Give yourself a bell on that one. Okay. So now we're looking for Lorne Michaels wrote for what comedy show before he produced Saturday Night Live?
And I can think of two, either Smothers Brothers or Laugh-In.
Correct. Laughing is the right answer.
Oh, he wrote for Laughing.
Yeah. And then that led him to writing for, he met Goldie Hawn and Lily Tomlin. He wrote for them as well. A bell for that, both costing me money. And how about the Gloria Steinem? the book that she wanted restricted or banned, and then later became a movie starring the person who became her stepson.
It wasn't Silence of the Lambs?
It was not.
Huh. Became a movie starring her stepson. Well, I'm not sure who she married, so.
Was it Boxing Helena?
It was not.
Okay. All right.
But both those depict violent towards women, that for sure. So you're in the right genre. And like I said, I did not know she married this person's father, and she did. But okay. He was an adult. Okay. One more out there. Good work, guys.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm calling for a guess on the quote.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the one that's, I can't remember exactly, something like, Angela, is it true Stevie is alive?
Yeah.
So that's the Deer Hunter, Robert De Niro.
It is the Deer Hunter, that's right.
Good job.
Yes.
Yeah, Stephen was, that was John Savage, I think.
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
And the stepson, I know it, but I can't bring it to my mind.
Oh, sorry. You got a guess? You got a guess? Can you picture him?
Oh, I remember being really surprised when I read an interview with Gloria Steinem that, and yeah, it is a well-known actor.
Really well-known.
It's not Christian Bale, is it?
It is Christian Bale.
Really? Oh, okay.
And what movie was he in that depicted violence towards
women? Right, I think I know which one now. But yeah, we all do.
Caller, do you know the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even... I don't recall the whole question.
It was Gloria Steinem had asked this book be banned because of its depiction of violence towards women. And years later, Christian Bale, who became her stepson, wasn't then, starred in this movie. Do you know what book it was or the movie?
I don't.
You guys have it? Dana or Daryl?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Daryl and I both know. It's American Psycho, right?
It is American Psycho.
Okay.
Bret Easton Ellis. Very good. All right. Two more answers
there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. We've been on for almost 31 years now. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. And again, we are doing our best to make up a $2,500 pledge. We're about $1,700 into it. So let's see if we can continue that over the course of the hour and make up the rest of that money. I know that a lot of people out there who enjoy the show may not be members of KALW. We do hope you will think about becoming a member and donating whatever you can. We accept money in all amounts. But if you do enjoy the programming of KALW, we do hope you will step up and become a member. We would love to have you. We really would. And I think I will turn it over at this point to Joanne and Ben, and they can tell you a little more about that.
Thank you so much, Dana. Yes, we are in this challenge from the Producers Circle to support arts and culture programming on KALW, and Minds Over Matter is such a great example of that. It's been here for, like Dana said, nearly 31 years? It's really extraordinary, and it's been generations of supporters who have kept KALW and programs like this on the air, and they step up during our membership campaign. So for you, now's the time. KALW.org. Click the donate button, browse our great thank you gifts, give what works for you, whether it's our basic membership level of $50 a month or maybe $10 a month. You could give $20 a month, whatever works for your budget. We are excited to hear from you and share what you love. Say, I am a Minds Over Matter fan. Keep it coming. Just do it right now at KALW.org.
And as Dana and Ben have been mentioning, we are working on a $2,500 match that we need to reach by 12 noon today. I'd like to get most of the way there during this hour of Minds Over Matter. So I want to set a kind of mini goal for this hour. of 20 calls and clicks. And I know we can do it. I know we have fans out there who listen religiously to Minds Over Matter. I'm making an especial appeal to you, especially those of you who have never given to KALW and Minds Over Matter. We're asking you to come out of the woodwork now and help us out. 800-525-9917 or go online, kalw.org.
And before we go back to the show, which I know we are all excited about, I am very excited to share with you that we are getting some great contributions right now. Thank you to Rebecca Hazeltine from San Francisco for your contribution at kalw.org. Also, Andrew Salek, I hope I pronounced your name right, from San Francisco. Thank you so much, Andrew. Also, we've got Justin Chen, who is coming from San Francisco as well. These are all coming in during Minds Over Matter. Our community is stepping up. And also an anonymous giver from San Anselmo who says, KALW is the best. Thank you all so much for supporting us during Minds Over Matter. And I think, Dana, that's a good note to go back to the show with.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you, Joanne. Okay. Let me give you a couple questions here. I believe it's finally my turn. No, it's my turn. All right. So I'm going to give you the first line. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I should recuse you, Daryl, but you just nod to me if you think you know all of these. Okay, so these are first lines of classic TV show theme songs. So in other words, I'm going to read you the first line or the lyrics of a TV show, famous TV show theme song. All right, the first one is... number one, I'm not afraid of any pretty maid. I'm not afraid of any pretty maid. Number two is beyond the rim of the starlight. And number three is through early morning fog I see. All right, so these are first lines of classic TV theme songs. And they didn't necessarily sing them during the show, but these are the words. The last one was sung on every show, but the first two were not. So again, first line. Number one, I'm not afraid of any pretty maid. Number two, beyond the rim of the starlight. Number three, the early morning fog. Through early morning fog, I see. Daryl, do you know all or any of these?
I can guess at one. I don't know for sure.
Okay, I'll let you guess at one.
Well, are you saying that the theme, as we're familiar with, may not have, it's just music? Like, for example, number two could be Star Trek. Those are the actual words for Star Trek.
Yes, that is the actual first word of the lyrics to the Star Trek theme.
Okay.
Beyond the rim of the starlight. I'll let you do the rest of the music. But those are written by Gene Roddenberry, by the way.
He did write the lyrics. But it's not sung in the show, is it?
It is not sung in the show, but it has been sung on, I believe, an album. I think, I'm trying to remember who did. Was it Leonard Nimoy? I don't know. Somebody signed him on an album. But Gene Roddenberry wrote the words.
I know the third one, I think.
You think so? Oh, all right. Well, hold off on that. We'll let the listeners get to that.
Oh, okay.
But if nobody gets it, I will give that to you.
Okay.
So a classic TV show lyrics to their themes. First one is, I'm not afraid of any pretty maid. And the last one is, through early morning fog, I see. All right. Let me give you just one short question, two short questions, I guess. All right, what was the last time that California was won by a candidate that was not a Republican or a Democrat in a presidential election?
Whoa.
What was the last time that California was won by a candidate who was not a Republican or a Democrat in a presidential election?
Was it in the 20th century?
I don't think I'm going to say.
Okay. You know, Daryl, I don't.
No.
All right, leave that out.
Let me ask Daryl a question. Wouldn't be Earl Warren if he ran as, no, never mind.
No, he was a Republican.
Yeah, probably.
So once more, in a presidential election, when was the last time California was won by a candidate who was not a Republican or a Democrat.
Post-1850, so what other parties might there have been?
Whig. There was a Whig party in 1850.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the president was a Whig in 1850. All right. Leave that out. And what are the four countries in the world, and four countries that are non-English speaking, by the way, what are the four non-English speaking in the countries in the world that have the highest percentage of English proficiency? What are the four non-English speaking countries in the world whose citizens have the highest percentage of English proficiency? In other words, the most people speak English in a country where English is not a native language.
So I don't think Switzerland has English as an official language, but they're
no, it has nothing to do with being an official language. It's English would not be an official language. It would simply be a language that's learned or taught in school.
Yeah, Switzerland.
No, not Switzerland.
Joanne is guessing the Netherlands.
The Netherlands is indeed one. Yes, very good.
Nice work. All right.
Matter of fact, Netherlands is number one. Yes. So just let me run over this once more.
Yeah.
What are the four countries in the world, four non-English speaking countries in the world, that have the highest percentage of English proficiency? In other words, the highest percentage of people that know English from being taught or learning in some way.
How about Iceland?
Iceland is not one.
Okay.
And when was the last time that California was won by a candidate in a presidential election who was not a Republican or a Democrat? That up. The two numbers join us. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. This is Roger in San Francisco.
Roger.
We're talking about languages, so I've got a couple of interesting questions. Which country in the world is the most polyglot, speaks the most languages?
The most native languages or just...
Actually, in this case, it is also the most native and the most indigenous languages, too.
Is that Papua New Guinea?
You are right. You must have taken a linguistics course.
Very good.
Now, tell me, how many languages do they speak in Papua New Guinea?
Many, many, many more than I do.
Take a guess.
It's over, isn't it? Over 100. It's over 100.
It's way over 100.
Yeah, and some of the languages are only spoken by a handful of people.
They speak 840 languages in Papua New Guinea, and they're all indigenous. Now, they are way out of the out of the list, really. There's only one country that even comes close. Which country is that? And you already have the information which will help you tell me what country that is. They speak 707 languages in this country. If you think of the geography of Papua New Guinea, you might figure it out.
Is it a country that is... very close to Papua New Guinea in some
sense. You are right.
So Indonesia is a logical guess, I think.
That's correct. They speak 707. Now, there are six countries that speak only one language, only six in the world. Five of those six are very small island nations. They have only a few thousand speakers. But this one is a mainland country, and it has 23 million people. What country is that?
So, in the interest of brevity, could you tell us what continent this is on?
Asia.
Okay.
23 million, that's a lot. Yeah.
Well, my first guess would be Korea.
This country is often in the news,
by the way. Is it North or South Korea?
It is North Korea, yeah.
Okay.
One more question. Which country has the most official languages? 37. Again, it's an outlier. The next one is way down.
I would say India.
No.
Really? Okay.
These are official, official languages.
How about South Africa?
They have 12. That's quite a lot. But this one has 37.
37.
Boy. What continent?
Yeah.
The Americas.
Oh, okay. So they're mostly indigenous languages then, correct?
That's not clear. Yes, I imagine they are. There's 37 of them. That's a lot. It's Bolivia.
Ah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And let's see, where are we here? Daryl, you go ahead and do a question.
Okay. What were Dashiell Hammett's 5 novels?
Well, The Red Harvest.
Yes.
I'll take one.
The Thin Man.
Yes.
The Maltese Falcon.
Yes.
Let's see, what else we have? What else?
The Continental Op.
No, that's related. That was a character, right? Or the mission, but that wasn't the title of the novel.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought it was. All right.
No, that shows up in a novel.
Yeah.
Were the other two made into films?
One for sure. The other one, I'm assuming, but I don't know for sure.
All right. Let's think about that. All right. Leave that out. Just repeat the question if you want.
Yeah. What were Dashiell Hammett's 5 novels? We have Red Harvest, Maltese Falcon, and The Thin Man, and there's 2 more.
All right. Thank you very much. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert in Bernal Heights.
Karen
is off doing some exercise. So I think one of the Hammett novels was The Glass Key.
Oh,
yes, The Glass Key. Yeah,
very good.
And I'm encouraging everyone to join us as KALW member supporters. This station is a critical part of our community and deserves everyone's support.
Thank you.
I'm calling with a question that I asked a couple weeks ago and we didn't have time for. And the question was, a couple weeks ago I asked about the top domestic box office star, and it was Samuel L. Jackson. Now I'm asking about the top domestic below-the-line star, and this person shows up in multiple ways below the line, so not as a leading actor in movies, but this person has been part of films that have earned almost $12 billion at the box office.
But as a character, as a character,
so this person has, had cameos. If I tell you more about this person's role in these films, I think it might give it away.
So their main function is not acting; it's something. Something more in the production. So is it John Williams, the composer?
It is not. That's an excellent guess.
So wait a minute. I'm confused. So it's not an actor, you're saying?
Right. They call this person a star in the source I'm looking at, which is a site called thenumbers.com. It tracks box office star records. So they call this person a star. I would not use the word star, but they do, so I'm continuing that.
But it's more John Williams than it is Samuel L. Jackson as far as their role in making movies?
Right, it's more John Williams than Samuel L. Jackson.
So, is it a direct? Is it somebody who's primarily a director?
It is not.
Okay.
I was going to guess the actor who plays the Emperor in the various Star Wars films.
I think it's going to be bigger than that. More films. So. It has to be. Well, Samuel Jackson is in so many films, right?
Yeah.
This person is associated with a lot of films, especially in recent years.
Are the films they're associated with superhero movies?
Yes, very much.
Okay. Oh, who's the guy? Is it the cartoonist artist who's made all his images? Stan, you know who it is.
Yeah, you're getting right there.
The guy who drew Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Yes, it is Stan Lee. He shows up in three categories: top domestic below the line star, top domestic cameo star, and top domestic star. I'm not sure how that differs, but $11.9 billion at the box office, not in his pocket.
What was his last appearance? What was his last cameo?
I think he made one after he died. They brought him in as a, not as a hologram, but as a.
He was alive when they were
sort of imagining. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't use.
No, for the caller, what do you think?
Let me see. I'm looking at IMDb for.
We don't do that. So the answer is Avengers Endgame.
Oh, you knew.
So it. According to IMDb, it's Starship Farragut Homecoming as Admiral McCann.
Yeah.
So I have another quick question for y'all.
We have to. I would like to hear your question, but we have to do a break here at the bottom of the show.
Go right ahead. I will call back in some other time.
All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for your understanding. I appreciate it.
Thanks, all. Love the show.
Thanks for your question. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We do hope you will remember that we are trying to make a $2,500 match over the course of the hour, and indeed before noon. But if we can do it over the course of the hour, that's even better. And to tell you a little bit more about that, I will hand you over to Ben Trebney and Joanne.
So, Dana, we have some good news and we have some bad news. We have a goal of 20 calls and clicks for this hour of Minds Over Matter. And the good news is we have 8 calls so far. The bad news is we need 12 more of you to make our goal by 11 o'clock today. So give us a call at 800-525-9917 or go online and hit the donate button at kalw.org.
And I loved what that last caller said. We love Minds Over Matter, and this is an institution here at KALW, and I absolutely love where it is in the schedule right after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So all these trivia lovers can get their fill on Saturday mornings. And obviously, this is resonating with a whole lot of people. Just got another click at kalw.org. Virginia Brasky from San Francisco says, love having my morning coffee with Minds Over Matter. Thank you, Virginia. We have an anonymous clicker from Bolinas. We also have William Richter from San Rafael became a member of KALW at kalw.org. And also Leslie Rose, who says, I love Minds Over Matter. And Rose Aguilar, host of Your Call, another longtime treasure here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Please join these folks and help us reach this 20 call or click goal that we have set by 11 a.m. You can do it at kalw.org or by calling 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. This is the only Minds Over Matter during our fall membership campaign. Make a count right now. Thank you so much.
And I actually got a correct answer today, and I've really gotten sucked into trivia quiz shows thanks to Minds Over Matter, and I have them to blame, and that's because, you know, I'm so bad at trivia, but I'm getting a little better thanks to Minds Over Matter. You really have to be clever and quick like Dana and Lori and Daryl are. So I admire quiz show panelists who can rattle off all the answers, and if you do too, we need to hear from you. you, 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917, or go online, kalw.org.
And before we go back to you, Dana, just one quick update. We have 10 clicks so far, trying to reach 20. So while you're going, while we go back to the show and you're listening, please do go online to kalw.org and make that donation. We could do it together. All right, Dana.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all of you out there who are taking the time to become members of KALW. We appreciate your support. We appreciate all your help. We really do. And of course, we appreciate your listenership, especially calling into our show. So let's continue here. Let's take a minute to go over the questions that we have out. Daryl, we'll start with you.
We're missing one of Dashiell Hammett's five novels. We have Red Harvest, Maltese Falcon, Glass Key, Thin Man, and there is one more. And I want to know the name of the Best Picture Oscar winner for the 80s and 90s. I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and ask me himself. And that place at the base of a woman's throat, you know, the hollow here, does it have an official name?
Okay. Does that quote, the last one you did, is that a prelude to Mayhem?
No, not at all. No, okay. It's more of a romantic scene.
All right.
Or a wistful scene.
A wistful scene. All right. And Lori?
I have nothing out there. You got my
questions. Did we? Okay.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So I have, I gave you the first line of lyrics for classic TV show themes. The ones we have left are, I'm not afraid of any pretty maid. And the last one is, through early morning fog, I see. And at this point, I should say that one of our email people got it. Let me just check this. Peter got that. So, yes.
Got which one?
Through early morning fog, I see. And visions of things to be. That's the MASH.
It's from MASH. Yeah.
I have a guess on the other one.
All right. And I asked you, when was the last time that California was won in a presidential election by a candidate not Republican or Democrat? When was the last time that California was won in a presidential election by a candidate that was not a Republican or a Democrat? Yes. And I also asked you the four countries where the highest percentage of its citizens, and these are non-English-speaking countries. So the four non-English-speaking countries where the highest percentage of the citizens have English proficiency. In other words, they learn it on their own or in school, but it's not a native English-speaking country. So far we have the Netherlands. What are the other three on that list? And one is not in Europe, I should say. Okay? Keep that in mind. And Lori, I think it's your turn, by the way.
It is. Anyway, keep calling in with right answers. I'm giving a contribution. And thank you, Joanne, for getting one right. We have 14 correct answers so far. Hope we get up to 20. And if you're sitting waiting on hold and you want to click onto the site and donate any amount, that would be great. I have a question. The list has 8, but as soon as we get 5 of them, I'm going to call it off. It's a Saturday Night Live question. For which characters, there's characters who get repeated a lot, like Roseanne, Rosanna Dana, and the Blues Brothers. 8 have had 20 or more recurrences on Saturday Night Live. As soon as we get 5 of them, I'll call it off here. So I'm looking for characters, like Matt Foley would be another one, but they have not appeared 20 times. So I'm looking for either individuals or people who are paired up, like the Blues Brothers were, who have made multiple appearances.
How about the Church Lady?
Yeah, she is on the list. Dana Carvey's Church Lady had 20. Very good on that one.
20.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
How about Wayne's World?
Yes. Wayne can't. Do you remember the name of the characters? There's two of them.
Wayne and Garth.
Yeah. Wayne Campbell and Garth Elgar, played by, want to give them credit?
Dana Carvey and Mike Myers.
Very nice. All right. Dana, you have any?
No, I'm just thinking here. Is the owner of the is it the Greek cafe, the John Belushi?
Oh, The
Pepsi.
That didn't make the list. Yeah.
Or the cheerleaders that Will Ferrell.
They're just off the list.
Just off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry characters off the list. Close.
All right, let me think about it.
Okay.
Give the question once.
Yeah, again. We're looking for recurring characters on Saturday Night Live who have been on 20 or more times. There's 8 of them. I'm looking for 5 just to put a limit on the list. And Daryl nailed the church lady, so to speak, played by Dana Carvey. And Carvey appears again as Garth Algar with Rain Campbell, which became, of course, Wayne's World. Looking for 3 more. All really well-known and kind of, I'd say they're all kind of old school. I think no one in the current cast, is in any of these. So they're from the more classic days, I would say.
All right. And just to remind you, the numbers you can use to call us, and we look forward to talking to you, we always do, are 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. How about Teddy Roosevelt?
As one of the TV theme songs? No.
For Winning California.
You're absolutely right. Teddy Roosevelt in 1912, the Bull Moose Party, they won California.
That's what I thought. Okay. And how many guesses can I get on the English-speaking countries?
I'll give you a few. Go ahead.
All right. Denmark?
Yes, Denmark. Good.
Okay, Belgium?
Not Belgium.
Estonia?
No.
And Israel?
No.
Whoa.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you.
Denmark.
This is Don in Massachusetts, by the way. So the question is, what was the largest man-made explosion before the first nuclear tests?
Largest man-made explosion... Man-made. Was it, did it take place during the First World War?
No.
Did not.
Was it a building project done by the government to build a dam or a road, something like that?
It was the Second World War.
So it took place during the Second World War?
Yeah.
It was a single explosion, not like the bombing of Dresden. Correct.
A single explosion.
What about Fort Chicago?
Another hint.
Yeah, very good guess.
What was that guess?
Fort Chicago.
Fort Chicago.
Oh no, that was a good guess. It involved a very famous person, famous at least to boomers.
Yeah, famous at least to boomers. Huh.
Would it give too much away to tell us what the continent it happened on?
No, it was off the coast of England.
So was this done as a scientific experiment?
No.
No.
And it was a military action, correct?
Yes.
Did it happen accidentally? Was it a planned explosion or was it an unplanned explosion?
That's impossible to answer. It was an attack that exploded early so that it didn't work.
Was it sabotage?
No. Mm-hmm. Bad engineering.
All right. I know we're asking you a lot of questions, but was it a ship blowing up with munitions, for instance?
It was an airplane.
An airplane. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think, go ahead and tell us.
Okay. The person who died was Joseph Kennedy Jr.
Oh, my. Yes. Okay.
Who was piloting the plane, and it was loaded with explosives. It was a plane meant to go out of service, loaded with explosives. He was meant to bail out. The whole crew was supposed to bail out just before it hit the targets against the V-2 rockets in France, but it exploded before they had a chance to bail out.
Wow. And that is the loudest explosion?
Largest.
Largest, I'm sorry.
Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. So that's 1944. then, if I recall.
I think it was only a few months. Yeah, I think it was 44. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
That'd be before D-Day. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We come to you every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We are in the process of getting to a $2,500 match, and we do hope you can be a part of that. If you enjoy the show and indeed enjoy all the programming the KALW offers, I'll let Ben and Joanne tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, go ahead and join us at kalw.org. Click that donate button. We have, at this point, 11 clicks and calls that we have received during Minds Over Matter. The audience is showing up, but we do need to get to 20. That is our goal by 11 a.m. So we have 15 minutes to go. You could do it at kalw.org or call 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. And I want to give a special shout out to an anonymous donor from Pinole who said, "I'm a monthly donor, but want to give an extra boost for keeping people grounded in the coming months. No matter what time I listen, there is always something engaging to hear, and I love all the educational programs you run, TBH, Uncuffed, Audio Academy, truly investing in the future. The world needs more of this." Thank you so much for those great comments. This is what KALW is all about, engaging programming like Minds Over Matter, educational information, and even training programs in our news department. We are about the community, and we're sustained by you. Please step up right now, kalw.org.
And we're looking for 9 more people to hit our goal for this hour of Minds Over Matter. And if you're one of those longtime listeners to this program and you enjoy this program, you find it highly entertaining like I do, we need to hear from you. 800-525-9917 or go online kalw.org. $50 a year, that's all it takes to become a regular member of KALW. And if you're feeling a little more generous, consider becoming a monthly supporter at $10 or $20 a month. You choose the level, but the important thing to do is go to the phone right now, 800-525-9917 or online, kalw.org.
All right. Well, I think that we need to hear the answers to these questions now. So as you go to kalw.org and you help us get to that 20 call or click challenge, let's go back to Dana and listen to the rest of Minds Over Matter.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you very much, Joanne. Let me just go to a couple of emails here. Harold Smith is wondering if on the Saturday Night Live appearances, the Killer Bees would be one in the 20 group.
Great guess, but they're just off the list. They didn't last quite long enough. Yeah.
Hey, Mark and Tina are wondering if English is there's the high English proficiency in India or Sweden, and is no, neither one is one of the top 4 on the list. And Carlton has a good guess. That's one of the ones I was sort of thinking about a little bit. He's wondering the what's up with that? Is that a 20 appearance?
No, you think it would be. That was the kind of talk show, variety show. With
the talk show where nobody ever got to talk.
Yeah, not just below the 20 threshold. Right, no one talked. That one's good. Yeah, but no, didn't make the list.
And Zach, who is emailing from France, by the way, to the show, he is wondering if Mr. Bill was on 20 times.
You know, I didn't include Mr. Bill because he wasn't played by a person, but it's correct. Mr. Bill was on 23 times. But I think Zach from France, what time is it there? Very good. Yeah, very good. I love that. I'm paying for
that. Carlton is wondering if Stefan was one.
Stefan was not. He was on a bunch, but he didn't make the final cut. Yeah, played by Bill Hader.
And Larry is wondering if the place, Daryl, your question, the quotes from Best Picture, the place on a woman's throat, is that the English patient?
It is the English patient.
Good job on that.
Very good.
That's the suprasternal notch, by the way.
Of course. And it goes without saying.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay. I'm going to give you a very quick question here. I read this week that the last full-size Kmart is about to close. So what state is that in? The last full-size Kmart in the United States is about to close. What state is that in?
Ooh, I'm going to lead with Texas.
No more blue light specials. it is not Texas. No. So the
Alabama.
Not Alabama. The last full-size Kmart is about to close. What state is that in?
Are we in the right general part of the universe?
What's in the United States?
No. Yeah, I know. But, you know, kind of south-ish.
South of Canada, yeah.
That's a good hit. Daryl, where did Kmart start? Do we know what state? Because that might have been where they kept the last one. I don't.
I don't think there's any relation between where the Kmart is and the original store or anything like that.
All right.
So, anyway, okay, just remember the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Is the movie line, the last one, I guess, is probably Driving Miss Daisy. I wouldn't be in your
shoes. It is. Yes, Driving Miss Daisy. Very good.
Would you repeat the line, Carol?
Sure. I wouldn't be in your shoes if the sweet Lord Jesus come down and ask me himself.
All right.
I think Ann Aykroyd said that. Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Esther Roll.
No.
The housemaid who might have been saying it to Morgan Freeman's character.
Okay. All right.
Perhaps. I don't know. Okay. And then the Hammett novel is The Dane Curse.
The Dane Curse is correct.
Very good.
I think they did make a movie out of that under a different title, but I'm not absolutely certain.
The Mummy's Curse, I believe they called it.
Yeah. Okay. And then, and related, what movie is a mashup of Red Harvest and The Glass Key?
Say the question again, please.
Oh, what movie? There's I don't know if the movie is all that famous. You probably heard of it. The filmmakers are definitely famous. They made one of the early movies was a mashup of Red Harvest and The Glass Key.
Well, they made The Glass Key twice with once the first with George Raft and the second with Alan Ladd. So I'm trying to think of a movie that would be a mashup of those two.
Like a Blood Simple kind of a movie?
Oh, you're very close.
Oh. So is it a Coen Brothers sort of thing?
Yes.
It is. So Miller's Crossing?
Yes, Miller's Crossing.
Really?
It's very good. Yeah, if you read, you see a bunch of lines in it that are lifted from both of those.
The Coen Brothers
plot also is
Dashiell Hammett.
Ethan.
That makes sense.
Hey, and then one other quick question. I know that Lori had that question a few weeks ago about Frasier being a character in a bunch of different shows.
Right.
But I also found there's a character that I found that is in at least seven different shows.
The same character?
It's spread out over three different networks.
Wow. It's not Richard. Is it Richard Belzer?
It is Richard Belzer. Munch.
Munch, right.
Yeah. And all of them were Law and Order?
Go ahead.
I couldn't name all the shows. He was on Homicide.
He was on Homicide and at least two Law and Orders, right?
Yeah, right.
That's right. Yeah, so those are all the NBC shows. And then he was on three shows on Fox as Munch and one show on HBO.
Wow.
Oh, what was the show on HBO he was?
Well, think about Homicide. It's very closely related.
Oh, The Wire?
The Wire.
Oh, all right.
Really? He
didn't speak in it, but he was in during the funeral of one. He was in a bar scene, sitting in a bar during a wake.
Return to Baltimore, huh? That's good. That's clever.
Oh, okay.
And then he was also in an episode of The X-Files and Arrested Development and American Dad.
As a bunch?
As Munch, yeah, as Munch.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Oh, that's fun. That's great.
Thanks.
Awesome. Oh, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
So
we have a few emails here. Countries with high English proficiency, Holland. Yes, that was the Netherlands that was gotten. And Danny and Sandra, who are longtime listeners yeah. to our show and longtime callers, I should say, say thanks and we donated. They are
thank you.
They are Danny and Sandra are KLW sustainers, but they just added a little bit to that. So thank you very much. We appreciate all your help. And let's see, anything else? No, that's it. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have a couple of guesses.
Yeah, go ahead.
So for Saturday Night Live, how about the Coneheads?
The Coneheads did not make the 20 list. They weren't even that close, surprisingly.
Oh, really?
Okay. And then in terms of just a couple of guesses, I don't know if this has already been guessed, but English language countries or countries where with greatest English proficiency. How right. about Norway or Germany?
Well, they're both a lot of English-speaking people. And Germany and Norway are just off the top four, but they're not in the top four. So,
okay, thank you. I'm donating right now as we speak.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Terrific.
A lot.
And I'm devoting it to Minds Over Matter. Love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
That's sweet. Thank you.
Very
That's
sweet.
Great.
All right. They're going to need a couple of minutes here at the top, and to so we should clean up now. What do we have? See, Daryl, start with you.
Okay, mine are answered, but I have a couple of guesses.
Okay,
for Saturday Night Live, how about Jeopardy?
No, not Jeopardy.
Okay, and then how about this one for the TV theme? I'm not afraid of any pretty maid, Bonanza.
Bonanza. Yeah, you're right.
Bonanza. That's Bonanza?
Yeah, that's Bonanza.
That's excellent.
Good job.
And do you have outstanding questions there?
No. You don't. Okay, Lori, what do you
I have the recurring characters that we didn't get on Saturday Night Live. Stuart Smalley, played by Al Franken, was on 20. Hans and Franz, played by Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon. The one that surprised me, excuse me, one second here. Marty and Bobby Mohan-Cole, the Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer playing the music teachers who are the middle school music teachers. And then the top two are Father Guido Sarducci by Don Novello and Emily Latella. I had the most appearances with 25, and that's what I have. And 23 correct answers, so I'll be donating based on that. Thank you, callers and parents.
All right, thank you very much. And the four countries, four non-English native for speaking countries that have the highest proficiency in English, thanks to schools, are the Netherlands, Austria, Denmark, and Singapore. Singapore is the outlier there. The last Kmart in the United States, the last full-size Kmart, which is soon to close, is in Bridgehampton, New York. New York. I think that is it for me. So my thanks to Daryl Garrison, realtor in Brentwood, and of course, Lori, who teaches at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks very much to Joanne Marp, handling the board and phones. And above all, our very sincere thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in for all these years. And we thank you very much for taking the time to donate to KLW and become members. We think the world of you, and we're glad you think of us, too. So we hope to have you call in again next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.